Support for this episode comes from Signature Bank.
Hey, this is Gary Head at Signature Bank of Arkansas. 20 years ago, we set out to build something different, a community bank that knows your name, values relationships, and gives our bankers the authority to serve you the way that you deserve. From our first location in Fayetteville to now serving families, farms, and businesses across Bentonville, Rogers, Springdale, Harrison, Brinkley, and Jonesboro, we've grown, but our mission remains the same. Local, personal, trusted. With 210 passionate teammates and growing, we're proud to serve all of our communities, including through Banco C, our bilingual banking services in Rogers and Springdale. Whether you're starting your own business, buying a home, or planning for the future, Signature Bank is here for you. Call us today at 479-684-3700 or visit us online at signature.bank. And be sure to tell us you heard about us right here on I Am Northwest Arkansas.
Searching for local businesses in Northwest Arkansas just got easier. From restaurants to roofers, boutiques to baristas, finditnwa.com connects you to the best local businesses with just one click. Discover something local, something great. Visit finditnwa.com today. Find it fast, find it local, finditnwa.com.
Hello and welcome to I Am Northwest Arkansas, the podcast where we explore the people, places, and ideas shaping life in the Ozarks. I'm your host, Randy Wilburn, and today we're honored to sit down with the leaders of Canopy NWA, the local nonprofit that's welcomed over 900 refugees from 29 countries into our community since 2016 and helped launch 21 new refugee and immigrant-owned businesses just last year. From their comprehensive Path to Thriving integration model to youth services, entrepreneurship training, and immigration legal support, Canopy is rewriting the refugee resettlement story here in Northwest Arkansas. Over the next hour, we'll dive into their journey, the impact they've made, and how each of us can play a role in building a more welcoming Northwest Arkansas. So let's get started.
It's time for another episode of I Am Northwest Arkansas, the podcast covering the intersection of business, culture, entrepreneurship, and life in general here in the Ozarks. Whether you are considering a move to this area or trying to learn more about the place you call home, we've got something special for you. Here's our host, Randy Wilburn.
Before we jump into today's episode, let's ground this conversation in the broader refugee resettlement landscape. On January 20th, 2025, the federal refugee resettlement program was indefinitely suspended when the new administration took office, halting a program that in fiscal year 2024 resettled over 100,000 refugees nationwide, including hundreds in Arkansas. This pause leaves tens of thousands of refugees in limbo, cuts off critical support networks, and heightens the urgency of local organizations like Canopy NWA, whose community-driven, long-welcome model is now more vital than ever. And today, we asked the folks from Canopy NWA to join us, and I'm sitting down with Joanna Kraus, who is the Executive Director of Canopy NWA, Shabnam Fazi, who works in the Youth Services Department, and Saratiel Mugisha, who is a case manager with Canopy NWA. So you guys, I really want to welcome you to the podcast. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having Canopy, Randy. Absolutely. We appreciate it.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. All right. So Joanna, I'm going to start with you because this is, I won't say it's your baby because you along with so many other people, I went to Canopy and I just got to say they are doing a lot with a little. And I went to their location, which is right there off of Weddington, and got a personal tour. And I was just amazed at the vibrancy of the office, the electricity. There was just constant movement. And, you know, it says something for the work that you guys are doing. But I would love for you, can you kind of share the story of how Canopy NWA got started in 2015 and what gap you saw in the region that inspired the founders to act.
Thanks, Randy. First of all, I'm so glad that you had the chance to visit the office. There are a lot of myths and misinformation out there about what the United States Refugee Resettlement Program truly is. This is a decades-old program that provides humanitarian assistance and refuge to people who have been forced to flee their home. They've been founded by the United Nations High Commission for Refugees to have a well-founded fear of persecution and that they were forced to flee their home for persecution due to race, religion, participation in a social class, or for some other reasons. So there's a huge need, and displacement globally is only growing, unfortunately, thanks to climate displacement, war, ongoing protracted conflicts. We're seeing more and more people who are forced to flee their home and don't have the opportunity to return, sadly. So it was in 2015, a very grassroots effort by Arkansans here in Northwest Arkansas. As you know really well, this is one of the most welcoming communities that could possibly exist. And a group got together in, you know, in churches, in living rooms, looking at what is happening during the Syrian refugee crisis, during the height of the media attention on the Syrian refugee crisis, right? Because we know that some conflicts around the world garner more public awareness and more media coverage than others. And saw some of our elected officials in that moment say that Syrian refugees weren't welcome here. And that gave these community members a time to pause and say, wait, but why? The people fleeing are the ones who are not the ones who are the cause of the conflict. They're the ones whose lives are put in jeopardy due to this conflict. And as humanitarian leaders in the globe, we thought, you know, our country does a phenomenal job with the U.S. Refugee Resettlement Program, and we can do an equally phenomenal job here in Northwest Arkansas. So fortunately, the program formed based on these hundreds of community members coming together, and we welcomed our first refugee arrival through the United States Refugee Resettlement Program in the fall of 2016.
Wow. And that person was from Syria.
Actually, interestingly, that person was from the Democratic Republic of Congo,
a family. The DRC.
The DRC. Our first Syrian cases were assigned to Canopy. Then, in early 2016, the first family didn't arrive until 2021, and Canopy still has some Syrian families who were assigned to us back in 2016 who still have yet to arrive.
Really?
And the reason for that is because during President Trump's first administration, the program was put on pause. And this is a system that has layers and layers of intensive vetting, security screens, health screenings. Some of those things expire. And when these systems have a pause, you know, you're running out the clock for the health checks that have to be redone. And it leaves human lives in the balance. People
yeah.
who, if you're assigned to come to Canopy, that means you've actually completed your process. You've been found to be a refugee. You have waited months or years or decades. And then suddenly there's a pause. And we're living through that again right now.
Well, I can only imagine. I watch the news. I listen to the news and you hear stories and you know, so many people right at the 11th hour, right before the inauguration, were planning to come here and relocate, and now they can't. And so it's got to be devastating for somebody that has been looking for a place to call home, a place that would be honestly unfamiliar to them, if for no other reason, just the simple fact that where they live is almost untenable and they need new surroundings, right? Which is the case for just about anybody. If you're in an untenable situation, whether it's the community that you're in, the country that you're in, that, you know, you want to look for greener pastures and you want to look for a place to raise your family. And so I can only imagine what so many of those that are in the, I would call it a purgatory of sorts, waiting to try to get to the United States. And so, I mean, we are and have always been the land of opportunity, right? And so that's the thing. And so when you espouse that idea, people are like, hey, I want some of that. That's why people want to come here regardless. I mean, they've all seen the stories and heard the news, but, you know, everybody wants to come to America. It is, quote unquote, the land of opportunity. And you know, I'm hoping that we can get back to that as an opportunity for all and not just some. So, but I digress. I just thought I would share that. How has your mission and vision changed or evolved since welcoming that first family from the DRC back in December of 2016?
Our mission, we stand very steadfast that our vision is to see refugees, newcomers, and the Northwest Arkansas community thriving together. And that's what we try to do. We work towards integration, not assimilation. So integration both is working with the newcomer and with the existing community to provide this bridging opportunity to show that together, braiding the strengths of one another makes a stronger community overall. So the original United States Refugee Resettlement Program is a 90-day program. Imagine coming somewhere completely unfamiliar, perhaps not speaking the language, you know, and saying you've got 90 days and you're on your own. We know that that is completely unrealistic.
Yeah.
So that is where the long welcome vision was born, through a strategic planning process, which involved our new neighbors, our community partners who are nonprofits, the public schools, our healthcare system. Say, what does this look like to see our community and Arkansas thriving here? So that was where we launched a suite of programs that is the long welcome that's going strong. We know that some people will need longer term support. We wish to see every single student who arrived in Northwest Arkansas through the refugee program graduate and have a great plan for after graduation, where they're going to, you know, move on to what comes next for them. That if you're getting a job really quickly, often that job will not utilize all of your skills. We know, you know, the job markets can be really difficult. So to be able to connect to career ladder, recertify. We've resettled people who were physicians, engineers, journalists, attorneys. And that first job that you can get without having your network, without having, you know, much social capital, might be really limited and not leveraging all your skills, which is good for you, but also good for your employer and whoever you're working with. So this whole suite of services is designed to help people thrive. And refugees are eligible to apply for U.S. citizenship at 5 years.
Okay.
So we're looking, we want to see everybody overcome that test, which, Randy, I don't know if I could pass it today.
I've actually seen the test, and it is taxing. I actually passed it, but I'm a bit of a historian, and I you know, I was that kid that did not skip civics in high school or in college, so I understand that. Unfortunately, a lot of my peers did not, so I can't say the same for the average person that I run into here in Arkansas. So, you know, and that's one of the things that we all need to brush up on our civics. And understand, you know, I got a copy of the Constitution and read it, you know, and actually read it like a book and just tried to understand it. And I know there are people that are new to not just Northwest Arkansas, but to the U.S. that can walk you back and forth through a civics lesson. And so that speaks volumes. And I think we need to be mindful of that. You mentioned something earlier as you talked about thriving and the long welcome. Can you kind of just quickly walk us through the four stages of your path to thriving model, which I know you kind of focus on these four things: basic needs met, stable and connected, ready to advance, and empowered to thrive. And all of these things kind of lead folks to a place of integration and not just assimilation, right? Because you kind of slowly walk people through the process and get them acclimated and integrated fully into the community. I'd love for you just to kind of share just how you came about with that kind of blueprint for this is the way that we are going to resettle refugees here in Northwest Arkansas.
Absolutely. So meeting basic needs, when someone arrives, this is what a lot of the work of Canopy, when there's active refugee arrivals, is, right? We're meeting someone at the airport. We're bringing them to a furnished home. We partner with so many members of the community to get all of those homes furnished. That's a major task. Helping a family find the grocery store, get connected with public benefits, enroll their kids in school. get that first job. Those are, you know, just meeting basic needs, food and shelter, right?
Yeah.
And then after that is, okay, what does it mean to start your new life here? Are your health needs taken care of? What about your mental health needs? You know, they're, by definition, you've gone through trauma. If you were forced to flee your home, this is not about, you know, the opportunity or the desire to come to America for economic opportunity, say, right?
It's different.
It wasn't, yeah.
People are fleeing civil wars. They're fleeing famine. They're fleeing a number of major issues that impact a large group of people.
That's right. So overcoming or grappling with that and figuring out what does a new life and rebuilding look like here. And then we also, every refugee comes with so many strengths. So we want to make sure that we can ensure that those people can bring those strengths here. So whether it was, did you know there's now 3 Congolese-led churches in Fayetteville?
I had no idea.
So those are folks, those pastors came through Canopy's resettlement program.
Wow.
And so that they were able to reestablish their faith community here. Such a testament, you know,
yeah,
to their strength and their dedication. And so many people had entrepreneurial backgrounds. Again, often that could be dictated because of the situation. If you have to learn how to, you know, navigate through in a refugee camp situation where there aren't formal employment opportunities, you could be very savvy in selling different products, gardening, you know, a lot of childcare, a lot of different skills,
yeah,
that you could offer and are needed in the community. So offering channels for entrepreneurship was really important. You know, partnership with neighbors, getting to meet others. Our community mentorship programs are really important as well. And we got a lot of great feedback, both from the individuals who have entered as mentees and those as mentors, about how meaningful these new relationships and meeting someone very different and building those relationships can be.
Okay, I love that. And you've kind of previewed where my next line of questioning is going to go, but I did have one more in this area before we go on to entrepreneurship and economic empowerment. And that's simply, of these 4 areas or these 4 stages, what are some of the biggest challenges clients face at each stage? And how does Canopy tailor support to kind of overcome those challenges? And it might just be that you've seen a majority of the challenges happen in this stage. And whatever stage that is, this is where we kind of focus the most help with our refugees.
I'd love to have my colleague Mugisha share, because he
Absolutely.
Is the person.
I've been waiting to hear from
at
Mugisha.
The airport,
so.
And with those families in their first couple of days, and can talk about, you know, what are some of the big challenges early on and then as time passes.
All right. My name is Sarati El Mugisha. I'm a case manager at Canopy NWA. So, okay, just before I answer that, first thing, I'm a case manager at Canopy, but also I came as a client. I came also as a refugee. So I'm a proud product of Canopy. I know Canopy has done a good thing and a great thing to refugees and welcoming them and helping thriving the community and becoming self-sufficient. So some of the challenges refugees undergo whenever they arrive here, first it's like trusting someone, you know, like at the airport, being received by someone maybe who doesn't speak your language, you know, due to trauma you have heard from where you came from, and now you're being received with someone who doesn't speak your language. So now becomes more, you feel stressed. But that's what we work on, to make sure on the arrival, we have someone who speaks the same language with the client we are receiving at the airport. So also in the community, personally, when I came in, like I had like past 2 weeks, I didn't meet a person who speaks my language, which I was kind of traumatized, being in a room, no one to talk to. I don't know anybody, but yeah. This is something also we have been working on a lot, whereby after client arrives, after putting them the house where they're supposed to stay, we connect them with other members of the community who speaks the same language to make sure at least they know them, they talk, and they're able to encourage them through the journey we are going through.
So it's now, and I'm sure now you have a community of people that you connect with that all speak your language.
Yes.
Okay. All right. And so if anybody were to come from maybe your country or another country in Central Africa, you would be able to kind of plug them in where they can, you know, they can find some familiarity, if you will.
Definitely. Okay. I speak Kinyarwanda and Swahili. So most of our clients will come from like Central Africa, Central Africa, that is maybe also DRC, Uganda. Most of them speak Swahili, Kinyarwanda. So I'm able to assist them, also connect them to other members in the community who speak the same language.
Okay. I love that. So you guys, I mean, it seems like you have contingencies in place for just about everything. I mean, in the sense of what you're dealing with. So I'd love to maybe talk a little bit about the entrepreneurship and economic empowerment piece, because I know that, like you said, a lot of people come here. I think sometimes in people's minds, when they think of refugees, they think of somebody that came out of a homeless situation or they didn't have anything. And that's not always the case. A lot of times you have people, like you said, that have come here that have had previous careers and professions, and then they come here and they almost have to start at ground zero again. And for some, entrepreneurship is one of the paths to quickly kind of rise up, if you will. And so I'd love for you to talk about how you build and foster your entrepreneurship program and what it looks like.
Absolutely. So you're completely right, Randy. You've met one person who's a refugee. That means you've met one person who's a refugee, right? That immigration pathway certainly doesn't define who anybody is or what their future might be. So we're very fortunate that actually at the beginning of the COVID era, we partnered with the national nonprofit NDC, which runs the Building From Within Alliance, which focuses on aspiring entrepreneurs who may face more barriers. And our focus at Canopy is people who have come as newcomers to the community. So in that program, we serve clients who have come through Canopy, but we've also opened it to other immigrant communities who have been facing maybe some of the same barriers with moving forward to starting a business. And our program includes both a 12-week training course on foundations for launching a business and sustaining a business. That's essential. As well as we have a new initiative that launched this year using many of the talents of some refugee women who were really struggling to connect with some employment opportunities here based on language barriers, transportation barriers, childcare barriers. And that initiative called Inspired Hands is now a group of Afghan and Syrian women who are baking and creating sewn handicrafts that are available for sale through the Inspired Hands website that you can find linked with Canopy, and you can order each week and pick up your homemade bread and baklava and chutney, and oh my gosh, it's delicious.
It is, yeah.
And there's some pop-ups across Northwest Arkansas. So seeing all of these new businesses coming in, whether it's food or services for the community, I think is really continuing to enrich Northwest Arkansas. I see a lot of entrepreneurial initiative in this area. What I have seen from this group in particular that I think is particularly innovative and I resonate with is I often see people thinking, oh, what are my community members missing? What do they need? What would best serve them? Whether it's hairstyling that, you know, is unique and a gap here, or a food product that is missing that would makes people think of home. And we're seeing those for neighbors, but then everyone gets the opportunity.
I love that to
try these businesses.
So I would love if you could share. And I know when I went and visited your headquarters, you guys gave me a nice gift of some shug sauce that I have in my. It's almost gone now. So no, I'm just kidding. I'll have to come and get more. Can you share maybe one success story that illustrates the impact of your cottage industry initiative for refugee women?
One of the things that I think has been really powerful, women's empowerment is also something that's really important to us. We serve a lot of women and mothers in our program. And through this program, several women in our first cohort, they opened a bank account in their name.
Okay.
And that was the first time they said that they had ever had a bank account in their name, and that they can now, you know, choose where the income that's coming in will go towards. And that was very impactful for them. Another reason for us to celebrate, I think, is when we first launched. There can be a lot of fear in putting yourself out there as a new business owner, no matter who you are. And for some of these women that people came to buy their products, that they came to buy Shug sauce and non-bread, to say that, wow, people want to try this, people like it, that was a huge source of pride and a way to feel very like welcomed here.
Yeah, I love hearing stories like that. And personally, I love naan and I love Shug sauce. So there's that. But I mean, we will link to any of the links that you hear on this episode will all be in the show notes. And you can get that at the website, iamnorthwestarkansas.com. And, you know, with the episode number, but you'll also be able to just search Canopy NWA on the I Am Northwest Arkansas site and get right to the show notes to kind of highlight what we talked about and anything that was mentioned here. We'll make sure you get access to links to how to connect with them and do business with them or just in general encourage them. And we'll talk more about at the end, we'll talk more about how you can make a difference and support Canopy. But before we do that, there's still some more things that we want to talk about. And one of those is youth services and integration support. How does Canopy support refugee and immigrant youth academically, socially, emotionally? I know my son plays soccer. He's played soccer with a number of kids that have come here from other countries, from Africa, from Syria and other places. So I would be curious to know how Canopy supports that aspect of the young people as they come in and learn to integrate into society here in the United States.
Our youth services team is phenomenal. And so are all of the English as a second language teachers in the districts of Northwest Arkansas. We have a privilege to work with them. And shout out to every single teacher who welcomes a newcomer into their classroom, especially a newcomer who's struggling with English. I know that that can be challenging for teachers, and we're here to be that bridge, to provide resources, support, training, to connect the schools, the teachers, the students, and the parents to help with this transition and, you know, set people up for success. And I am delighted to have Shebnam here today.
Yes, I am too.
One of my colleagues. As you can see, Randy, I have the absolute privilege. The Canopy team is made up of many people who came through the United States Refugee Program, whether through Canopy or elsewhere in the country and then found their way here, who better, you know, to serve other newcomers. They have such a wealth and depth of insight. So I'd love to have her. She works in our youth services program and came and was a senior herself when she first came, high school senior.
And now she's about to graduate from college, right? So yeah, that's exciting. So, you've been waiting patiently. So Shebnam, why don't you introduce yourself to the audience and tell us a little bit about why the youth services program is so important to you.
First of all, thank you so much, Randy, for this opportunity that we're here and we can share our story, our experience, and the work we do at Canopy NWA and to be able to voice and for other people to hear. My name is Shebnam Faizi. I'm a refugee from Afghanistan. I moved to United States in September 2021, and it's been 3 years and 7 months. Yes.
You keep track, huh? 3 years and 7 months.
Months.
I love
yes.
that. Okay, cool. So tell us a little bit about your work with the youth services and how the impact that you've seen in the time period that you've had a chance to actually do it. Because not only did you come here and experience some things firsthand, but now you are helping to help others experience some of the same things you did when you got here as a senior in high school.
Yes. Like Joanna said, I was in my senior year when I moved from Afghanistan to United States. Imagine when you have so many dreams that you want to accomplish and you're living in a country that there's always war, conflict, and unfortunately you have to leave now. I was a couple months away from graduating from high school, and suddenly the government changed and we had to pack all our stuff in like one suitcase and to leave the country. So we made it to United States through chaos and displacement and confusion. But luckily we were here in Arkansas and we were resettled through Canopy. I work with one of my colleagues, her name is Arzo, and she was our case manager at that time. And when I arrived at the airport and they were there and to welcome us, and they had placard of welcome to Northwest Arkansas. And
had you heard of Arkansas before you came here?
No, no.
Not at all.
Not at all. So. I never imagined of being in America.
Right, right.
And not even close to being in Arkansas. And
sure, sure.
Didn't know really about like America has 51 states and that Arkansas is going to be one of the places that I'm going to live there and start working and dreaming towards my future. And as I saw Arzo was coming towards us and welcoming us, I asked her, that was like the first question I asked her. I was like, how can we start a school? How can I go to school? It was my senior year. I don't want to start again all over.
Right.
And she was like, you just have to be patient. You will get there. It's okay. We're all here to support you. And Danielle, my supervisor, she's a youth services supervisor, and she was there too. And she was like, she can definitely help you. And when that woman, when she said that she's there to help you, that really like helped me to, okay, I can do this again.
Yeah.
It's okay. We
so
got
you,
people
you,
here
you,
to help
you
us.
You didn't worry as much as you did before.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
That just
so,
only one sentence helped me a lot to be okay. In this community, in this new city, I can thrive again.
Yeah. How do you replay that experience back now that you are involved in Canopy, right? Because, I mean, when you first came here, you didn't think, oh, I'm going to eventually work with these guys and do that. So how did that happen? And what has helped you to help other refugees resettle here in Northwest Arkansas?
Yes. And after I graduated from high school, I was like, okay, how can I help? How can I use my skill and my experience as like a guide to help me in this community and to be able to help other kids? And I'm not the only one that that I've been in this community as a refugee and someone new. And I knew there are people coming and they were struggling at the same experience that I had. And so I was like, let's make a small impact on the community. And I started volunteering with Canopy, and I was looking at the everyday experience that I had in the community, in the Canopy. And then I was like, I should make this as a goal. And that's where I started as my major. I started going to college, NWAC.
Okay,
yes.
Yep.
And then after that, I was struggling my major because I didn't know what to study. And then Canopy really, really helped me at that part because I was looking at different major and really helped me to find what exactly who I am and what I want to do. And then that's when I started thinking about like international relation to be able to help globally, not only one nation or one part of the world. And then I kind of find my way to youth services and beyond proud to be in this group of people who are helping these kids who are coming like me and that have like these questions. How can I start school? Where to start? How can I start college? And that's, I'm so glad that I'm using the experience and be able to answer to some of those questions and actively work.
So you probably almost see yourself in every
yes.
kid that comes through mm-hmm. the Canopy doors, which, you know, gives you a frame of reference because you have a working knowledge of what it takes and
it takes,
what, you know,
mm-hmm.
what it means and just, you know, everything that's been shared. There's a lot of care and effort that mm-hmm. goes into helping someone to integrate into another community, another country. And so you guys are really doing some tremendous work behind the scenes. I mean, it almost hurts my head to think about all of the different things that you have to be thinking about to help another human being assimilate and it really, well, again, your word, integrate into the community and then become a full functioning member of that community, which you have to feel like you are a full functioning member now. And it's only been, as you said, 3 years and 7 months. So you've done a lot in a short period of time. Would you say your experience has been a typical example for other young people that have come through Canopy, or it just kind of different for different people?
Actually, the other day we took 15 kids of Canopy refugee kids from high school. The other day we took them to NWAC.
Okay.
And they were all sitting and they were trying to get their NWAC application done. And I was looking at them and I was seeing myself, like you said, I was seeing myself the first day when I went to NWAC and I was trying to figure out this educational system of here. And I'm not the only one who wants to be a different person.
Yeah.
Bring change, positive change in the community, in the country. And each one of them has dreams that they want to become. And they're all just here waiting for one chance to be able to help themselves, their family, and also to be a positive impact on the community.
Yeah, I love that. I love that. So, I mean, do you, like, when you think of home now, do you feel like Northwest Arkansas is home for you?
It is.
Okay.
It is. Every day, one experience adds to your...
It keeps building one thing up on the other. So, yeah, that's it. I love that. I love that. Okay. So, thank you for sharing that.
Of course. Thank
Shabnam.
You.
I'd love for you guys to also, I want to talk about kind of some of the immigration legal services and citizenship challenges that Canopy faces. And not so much challenges, but just there is a lot that goes into the resettlement process from a legal standpoint, from a citizenship standpoint. So what does your legal services team handle from family reunification to naturalization? And how many families have you helped achieve citizenship to date? Because that's ultimately the holy grail, right? I mean, when most people come here, they're like, I ultimately want to become a citizen of the United States. What's it going to take? And it's like, well, yeah, just come to this 3-day conference and we'll get you all set. There's so much work involved, and a lot of it is legal in nature. So I'd love for you to maybe share an outline so people can appreciate it. And again, folks, those of you that are listening, especially our normal regular listeners, you have to understand that an organization like Canopy has so many moving parts that sometimes, I mean, your head would be spinning if you were within that organization working within it. But to appreciate the amount of work and effort that goes into helping refugees resettle to Northwest Arkansas or wherever they're going, and the amount of time and effort that goes into making sure that everything is done legally and appropriately so that these individuals can have a clear path to citizenship. I don't want that to be lost on anyone, but Joanna, you can probably speak better to that and kind of share your insight from Canopy's perspective.
I'm glad you pointed out that distinction, Randy, because I hear a lot in the news, you know, using the term refugee. When at Canopy, when I'm usually using the term refugee, I'm referring to the legal status. The legal status refugee, if someone has that with the documentation that refugee demonstrates that they've gone through this extensive and exhaustive vetting process. So when someone enters the country as a refugee, they will apply for their green card to become a legal permanent resident at 1 year. So we assist in that process. And then at year 5, to adjust status to become a naturalized citizen. So our very compassionate and skilled team at Canopy in our Immigration Legal Services Department, our Department of Justice accredited representatives, which gives them all of the skills needed to guide people through this process, which is not just very, very time consuming and technical with the paperwork. It's also expensive.
Yeah.
You have to pay for your citizenship application, and to adjust your status, there's also the U.S. government has a medical portion as well. You have to show that you've received a series of vaccinations. So it is very...
Really? Vaccinations?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yes.
That's interesting. But okay,
yes,
that's fine.
That's okay. A government mandated portion of the process that you have. Every refugee overseas also had a medical screen, but then you got to do this whole process
I get it.
To become U.S. citizens.
But can I just add one thing to that? I can remember. So my wife her family is from Trinidad and Tobago. And her mom got her citizenship back in the 70s. And I remember her talking about how cheap it was back then. It was like $25 or something ridiculous. Now it's like when she looked at the numbers, it's like, it's crazy how much it cost. And it's almost like for the average person to look at that, you're thinking, oh, it must be easy to become a citizen. I don't think people have a clue all of the costs associated with actually becoming a citizen. So anyone that wants to jump all of those hurdles to become a citizen of the United States of America, you know, the price of admission is high and it costs a lot. So anybody that you see, and I'm speaking to any of our listeners that recently told you they just became a citizen, you got to give them some respect because it's not cheap to do. And again, the hurdles are high, like you said. I mean, there's so many different boxes that you have to check off in order to be able to do that, which I get. I mean, I totally understand that. But, you know, one of the things that is special about Canopy is that you help to make the whole box checking experience a lot smoother.
That's our whole goal, to help guide and navigate, provide that navigation assistance through the process. It's not cheap becoming a citizen. It's not easy. I'm really fortunate that Canopy's program specifically, knowing that the financial status of the people that we serve, that we can provide very, very low cost or in some cases free immigration legal services. If someone's come through corporate America and has the opportunity to become a citizen, they might need to pay for an attorney fees. I'm really grateful that we're able to offer these low cost services to people who were refugees who are ready to naturalize. And that's the joys of this work. And I would hope, you know, I want to open these doors and have others see this experience is meeting someone at the airport. That is profound. Profound for me as just an attendee. Yeah. I can barely imagine, you know, Mugisha or Shabnam could definitely speak to what it's like as the person crossing those, you know, out of the airport for the first time. So to watch that, to have the privilege to be there at the airport and welcome a newcomer, and then kind of the end of that journey to be there at a citizenship ceremony. Absolutely. I agree with you. If someone ever invites you to their citizenship ceremony, go and cheer.
Yeah.
That is the most, watching somebody else become a citizen is the most patriotic experience I've ever had because people are pledging their allegiance to this country. Yeah. And there's a tremendous amount of pride. And you can see all the work that went into getting in up to that day.
Yeah. And the secret to all that is that there's so many people waiting in line that want to pledge their allegiance to this country. I mean, understand that. Pledge their allegiance to the United States of America, not looking for a handout or looking for this or that. That's the general consensus that a lot of people hear. But the reality is that most people are willing to step up to the plate, raise their hand and say, yes, I want to be a citizen of the United States of America. And I want to do everything in my power to do that and be successful and a contributing member to the community. So, I mean, I don't, there's very few people that are like, I'm just looking to get over when I get here. That's not the case because, you know, you're known by your fruit, as I say. And so I think it's important for people to understand that. So, and that's why the work that you do at Canopy is so important. I want to talk a little bit about community engagement and volunteerism. I know that you get a lot of volunteers that work with Canopy. Shout out to some people that I've, even some of my neighbors are involved with Canopy. And, you know, I've had several people over the years say, oh, you got to get Canopy on the podcast. You got to tell their story. And I'm sorry it's taken so long, but I obviously, as we've spoken previously on a number of occasions, there couldn't be a more important time to highlight the work of Canopy and why we need to, you know, resuscitate and start things back up again, right? In terms of refugee resettlement and creating an opportunity. Because, you know, Canopy NWA is not the only organization in the country that's doing this. And there's so many out there that are all doing it to the full breadth of your offerings here in Northwest Arkansas that it's not like, oh, well, if we just let a bunch, if we do, you know, work with a bunch of refugees that need to be resettled, we don't have the capability of doing it. We actually do. And we're constantly looking, but part of it can't happen without community engagement and volunteerism. So I would love if you could maybe, can you describe like a recent Good Trouble fundraiser or community event and the impact that it had both on newcomers and longtime residents?
Ugh, picking one is too hard.
Yeah, I know. I know.
The Canopy and all the successes would not exist without the hundreds of community members who come out in support every single year. And we're seeing now, as years go by, people who previously, you know, were refugees or were newcomers are also people to pay it forward and give back. I'm so impressed with the Good Trouble fundraisers. Of course, that's inspired by the late John Lewis, you know, that this is not a struggle of one day. This is a struggle of a lifetime.
Yeah.
Caused some good trouble. So when the community saw that our funding was suddenly cut, and the funding that was cut first for us, Canopy's last family before the new administration arrived the Friday before inauguration. So the evening of Friday, January 17th, the executive order that indefinitely suspended resettlement came through on the Monday, leaving 11 families who had their plane tickets in hand to come to Northwest Arkansas, Those were now null and void. And then on January 24th, the federal program that provides some minimal financial support to newcomer families to pay for those, help pay for those first rents, you know, household furnishings, food was cut. And we, unlike maybe some other programs, you know, that's people who are just right in front of us. And suddenly we don't have the resources to serve them. And that, to me, that's unconscionable. I'm not going to tell a family, well, you're on your own, you know, figure out your own housing, figure out your own food. So it is thanks to individuals who held these fundraisers to bring their friends and, you know, networks together, as well as the hundreds of people who have made a donation that made sure that every single refugee family in Northwest Arkansas is okay. You know, we've made sure that they have their rent paid. We didn't leave any landlords hanging. That was remarkable. And huge shout out to the people who have been our co-sponsor or circle of welcome volunteers over the year. That's a big commitment.
Yeah.
It's a 6-month commitment to walk alongside a newcomer refugee family from the airport till their 6-month period and, you know, navigate the grocery store, where's the park, learn how to take the bus. Shubnam and Mugisha, did you have a circle of welcome or did you meet some volunteers when you first came?
When I arrived, I had a circle of welcome, but then they were on a trip. So I met them like after 3 weeks. But through those 3 weeks, my case manager was Malat. She was there with me all the time. She would come and check on me and, you know, show me where I would buy any stuff I wanted.
Yeah. Yeah. So you didn't feel like you were left to your own devices.
Yeah, for sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
I got you. What about you, Shabnam?
Yes, we had a circle of welcome. We had like 6 family.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. Well, I remember a situation not too long ago, it was maybe 2 years ago, where I was a member of the downtown Fayetteville Rotary, and one of my fellow Rotarians, Claudia Velato, was in the process of acquiring a bunch of furniture for a family that, well, they just found out from Canopy that they were relocating here like 2 days later. And we had to have enough furniture for, I think it might have been a family of 4 or 5. And I remember just kind of going into action mode to put, well, first of all, I think I remember sharing the post out on Instagram and Facebook. I was able to get something. I was able to find and secure some furniture that I gave the information to Claudia, and she was able to get it for Canopy, which in turn was then put in their apartment so that when they got here, they had a furnished apartment. But what people don't understand is that all of that can't be done by Canopy alone. It requires other people in the community to step up and say, yeah, I'll help out. And you would be surprised in the 24-hour span of when she put the call out and we were able to get everything together, we literally had a fully furnished apartment in 1 day. 1 day.
Amazing.
It doesn't take that much. And the resources are there. And I'm not everything wasn't brand new, but I mean, it was great and people had a place to come. And just imagine you're coming to a new country, a new land, and, you know, where are you going to live and what are you going to sleep on? I mean, these are all factors that play into the minds of anyone that would be coming into a new space. And, you know, Canopy does a yeoman's effort to make that assimilation as easily as possible to help people to come into, integrate into a new area or place, country. And so, I think people need to hear more stories like that, because then they realize, oh, I can help out. You know, I may not be able to come down to Canopy every day, but call me up whenever you have a need and you need some extra furniture or what have you. I've got stuff in storage, because we all, as Americans, we all have a ton of extra stuff. And so everybody's got something they could give away. And I'm constantly going down to Goodwill or Potter's House and giving stuff away. So, I mean, there's plenty to go around. And I think, you know, that speaks volumes to the type of individuals in our community that are constantly just stepping up and giving back. And so community engagement and any type of volunteerism as it pertains to Canopy or any other organization for that matter is important for us to move this thing along. And I constantly say one of my refrains is it takes a village.
Oh, yes.
It really does, right? That's my thing. That's how I roll. It takes a village. Anytime I'm doing something where I need help from the collective, I'm like, hey, this is a village movement right here. So we all have to step up and do something.
Undoubtedly. No. And during that time, when the U.S. pulled out of Afghanistan and the U.S., you know, resettled, did a tremendous military effort to welcome our Afghan allies and conduct an emergency evacuation of over 80,000 people. Those of us here on the ground, I'm so thankful to every member of the community, because we would get those travel notices the day before. Someone's coming tomorrow.
Yeah.
We all came together in this crisis response, and certainly it was couldn't be more grateful for everyone that we did this effort. It was so, so worth it. I'm so deeply, deeply sorry that it happened to my colleagues, to our new Afghan neighbors who had no plans to come here and were put in that absolutely horrific situation. But I'm so grateful that we were able to respond. And that was a full all community effort.
Yeah. Yes, just to add to that, Joanna, and I remember when we came and the moment we opened the door to a new house in Northwest Arkansas, and this house was full furniture with all the basic needs that we need as a new family in the United States, and all these volunteer and so the people that came with us from airport, and they brought food, and because we just suddenly left our home in Afghanistan. We didn't bring anything with us.
We left everything.
Yes. So they brought all the clothes that we needed for this few days. And then because we didn't have a transportation to go to Walmart, to get grocery store, they always helped us to go there and get the grocery store for us and help us to function on how to find everything in the community and find our way. And that's a huge step that someone do that for you. I mean, it's... life in the United States already very busy when someone is step out their way and
make that happen.
Yeah, for you, it's a very huge help. And
I love that.
Today, while we may not need furniture, we still need all the community to come together, at least in using their voice.
Yeah.
You know, if we don't need the furniture, but I know that this is a, you know, community of welcome, a country of welcome, and people can continue to help Canopy by using their voice.
Okay, so I got one question before we're going to do a call to action for our listeners. What is, and given everything that you've already highlighted, the state of affairs currently for the refugee resettlement program in the United States and some of the challenges and limitations that Canopy is facing right now, what is your vision for Canopy over the next 5 years? Where do you hope to be? I mean, obviously, nothing ever stays the same. And, you know, this may be a season that we're in, right? And so it could be a long season. It could be a short season. It just depends. I mean, you know, everything changes. I could say some things, but I'm not. Everything changes on the whim, right? Literally, you could blink and all of a sudden something comes up and it's like, oh, yeah, we're opening up the doors again. And so then all of a sudden everybody's scrambling. How do we deal with this? But you, as the executive director, Joanna, have to have some type of vision. And I know the rest of your team does. And so you take feedback from everybody, including these two wonderful people here with you. But what is your vision for Canopy over the next 5 years? And what do you think are your biggest opportunities and risks that you might face?
It's an incredibly difficult time. It's been pretty devastating, not just at Canopy, but nationwide, to see my peers and colleagues who've worked in resettlement for decades losing their jobs, agencies closing down because of the unexpected federal funding cuts. At Canopy, we have three goals. First, our long welcome program provides this essential suite of services for people who have been in the country for up to 5 years. So we still have 750 people who have arrived within the last 5 years who we've said we want to provide these services to help you navigate immigration legal services, to make sure if you entered high school, you're going to graduate and you have a plan for after graduation. So our long welcome services for 750 people to continue those, whether or not the federal funding continues, that's our primary goal. A secondary is I truly believe we are in the position we are today because people do not understand what it means to be a refugee or what a refugee is. And we want to come and talk to you. We want to be in every church, in every classroom, at every, you know, conference room at a business, so
Rotary
that we
Club,
can
all of that. Yes.
to share our stories, have the chance to meet a neighbor who's had this lived experience, share the definition of the refugee resettlement program, what it has, how it operates, what it's been doing for the last 40 plus years there's some really solid data out there about what refugee resettlement does for communities economically, socially, you know, that human element and connection. There's tremendous benefits for Americans and communities to continue the resettlement program. So we want to come and talk to you. And finally, is to maintain our infrastructure. Refugee resettlement is hard. On a good day, it's hard. And what keeps me up at night is the thought of if resettlement agencies are closed, if the infrastructure doesn't exist in communities, when the opportunity to resume resettlement presents itself, for people to just dismiss it and say, well, there's no infrastructure. This is too hard. We're not going to bother. And what that means for the lives of humans around the globe who are desperately in need of this protection, who don't have another option. So I want us to all strive to maintain refugee resettlement infrastructure.
Okay. Well, so again, there are currently 750 people that continue to need help and support. You're open and available to speak to anyone that will listen about the benefits of Canopy NWA and why you matter. And then, of course, you know, just keeping the infrastructure going. I mean, you got to keep the train running, right? So, I mean, whatever it takes to fuel that train at so that you continue to move forward, that's what you need to focus on.
That's right.
Okay. All right. I got you. All right. Now, with all that said and everything that we've laid out here, people that are listening might be chomping at the bit saying, oh, I'd love to get involved. I've heard about Canopy NWA, but I wasn't quite sure how little old me could do. And what concrete ways can our listeners support Canopy's work today, whether through donations, which is obvious, volunteering, or even advocacy? What are some of the ways that we can help you guys?
All of those things, Randy, absolutely. Our volunteer opportunities are listed on our website. Come check it out. We have short-term and long-term opportunities that will allow you both to connect with new neighbors, support them in ways like our summer program for kids and our after-school program, mentoring English language. You'll get to know some really phenomenal people. So you can check out those volunteer opportunities and internship opportunities. Invite us to come speak.
Yes,
like I just shared, you know, I know many people of faith really resonate with refugee resettlement. That's a deep, important, powerful message. So we can come and talk about, you know, what that looks like here in your community, in your backyard. And absolutely, donations are what we're going to need. We have already lost several federal grant funds very suddenly. And again, we lost them not because we did anything wrong.
Yeah, no.
This is what is happening in the nonprofit, you know, community very broadly. Resettlement's been hit hard, but I certainly see a lot of other nonprofit agencies in our community are going to be struggling coming up with the way that the federal government is changing its funding patterns. So those donations, if you can sign up to be a monthly donor, $25 a month, $10 a month, whatever you can do, all of us together is what is going to continue these programs.
Yeah. And then, I mean, I know when we think of individuals, that's one thing. But then obviously, there are a lot of small businesses in the area, civic groups that can partner with Canopy to strengthen kind of the long welcome for newcomers. What does that look like?
Absolutely. There's so many different ways to get involved. You can come check out our website. We have World Refugee Day in June every year, and we look for sponsors, whether that's a business, a faith community or church, a civic group can be a sponsor. And then you get to come out and taste lots of delicious food from around the world,
<That's>
see
awesome.
Really cool artwork, listen to music. So you can be a sponsor with us. Yeah, invite us to connect with you. And you can see the impact that some funds can make here in the community.
All right. So if somebody is like, this is all great, I want to get involved, just give us the website to go to for people to reach out to you guys at Canopy NWA. And we'll make sure that everything that we mentioned is linked in the show notes. But if you could share the website and how may people, if people want to reach you, the best way for them to do that.
Canopy NWA, Northwest Arkansas, canopynwa.org. Check out our website. We are on Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn. We have a contact page on our website to get in touch. You can see the volunteer opportunities there as well. And we have a fantastic team. If you have questions, you want to invite us to speak, if you want to get involved in a way that you have a creative idea for us, please reach out, let us know. We'd love to hear from you.
Okay. I love it. I love it. Well, listen, this has been enlightening and I'm so glad. I'm sorry. I'm personally sorry that it took so long for me to get you guys on, but you're on now. And I think this episode is going to have a long shelf life because as people hear what you're doing and the difference that you're making in the lives, not just of people that are coming here to the United States, but I also think that by proxy, individuals that give of their time and their talent to Canopy NWA that are from here already will benefit as well. And then we all benefit just in the largesse of, you know, improving our community and just making sure that people feel fully involved and connected in ways that maybe they didn't before. Because we all need connection. So I think it's important. And what you're doing is important work. So I want to applaud you guys. I want to thank you. I know there are a lot of long sleepless nights and a lot of hard work that you guys put in to make things happen. So continue to cause good trouble, continue to fight the good fight, and we will continue to put out there into the ether the benefits of Canopy NWA and why anyone within earshot should get involved with the good work that you're doing. So thank you all very much, Joanna, Shabnam, and Saratiel. Thank you so much. And I know I butchered your name, brother. I'm so sorry. I'm working on it. I'll get it down. But I appreciate you guys coming on the podcast. Thank you all so much.
Thank you.
Yeah, we appreciate it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, there you have it, folks. Another episode of the I Am Northwest Arkansas podcast. To check out the show notes for today's episode, just visit iamnorthwestarkansas.com. You can find all the information and links that we spoke about for Canopy NWA and everything that Joanna mentioned, we'll make sure is linked there in the show notes. So check that out. As always, you can check out canopynwa.org is the website to connect with them and go down and visit their location. They're just right off of Weddington, right by the highway there on 49 off of I-49. I would encourage you to go by, maybe call them up and see if you can take a tour, take a visit. And oh, by the way, if they can even get you some Shug sauce, you'll thank me later. So I would encourage you to see all that they're doing with what they have. And I would say that they have been a tremendous organization here in Northwest Arkansas that really represents what we're all about. And I would say that is that we are a community that is really about looking after each other to the best of our abilities. And Canopy NWA is no exception to that. So that's all I have for you this week. Remember, our episode drops every Monday, rain or shine. You can get us on every major podcasting platform and YouTube. And we'll be back here next week with another new episode of the I Am Northwest Arkansas podcast. We'll see you then. Peace.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of I Am Northwest Arkansas. Check us out each and every week, available anywhere that great podcasts can be found. For show notes or more information on becoming a guest, visit iamnorthwestarkansas.com. We'll see you next week on I Am Northwest Arkansas.
Attention Northwest Arkansas businesses and talent seekers. Introducing Onboard NWA.com, your hyperlocal job board crafted for our unique community. Struggling to find the perfect match for your job openings? Onboard NWA simplifies the hiring process, connecting you with the region's top talent through tailored talent matching solutions. Whether you're an employer seeking expertise or a professional looking for your next opportunity, Onboard NWA is here for you. Discover more at onboardnwa.com and let's build the future of Northwest Arkansas together.